lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Oh, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host.
That's most popular right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host.
The most popular.
Bob Inyart, right here on the Information Radio Network. I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in with Bob today.
Because who else would go by that title?
Nobody else would claim it.
America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host.
By default, you are the most popular.
Yeah, because I'm the only one.
Yes.
And we're on the radio.
That's right.
So that's it.
That's it. This is your only choice.
Not only on the radio, but on KGov, KGov.com.
That's KGOV.
Around the world, on the web.
That's right.
And boy, the website is just hopping, Doug. A lot of people tuning into the show. Like, for example, our first call that we'll take, I mean, the show's just started. 1-800-8-N-YARD.
Phones are ringing off the hook before we get on the air.
The show's just started. We got a call from Florida. Now, we're not on any radio station in Florida.
We're not on in Florida yet. That's true.
No, but the web is there.
The web is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's ubiquitous.
And so in a couple minutes, we'll take our first call from somebody who was in Israel last week.
Wow.
And, of course, we want to talk about Israel and what's going on there.
I'm tired, Bob, from staying up last night. They cut to Ariel Sharon live.
Live.
I saw it live, too.
I saw it live, too.
So it was. I stayed up half the night waiting to see the arrest of Yasser. Well, Yasser, that's my baby Arafat.
Yeah, it was anticlimactic.
Yeah, I know.
I told my son Nathaniel, I said, you know what they're going to do with all this? He said, why? I said, really nothing. They've been surrounding him since December, and so now, well, putting a hole in that in his compound wall building, that's the most beautiful hole I've ever seen.
That was nice. But it does beg the question. It begs the question, how much tighter can the noose get, crying out loud? They've got him in one room now or something.
Yeah, pretty soon, maybe they'll put him in a desk drawer. So, and they've cut off his power, electricity. Now, he still made a few phone calls, but I bet his cell phone battery's dying.
It's got to be.
So he's got no power. I hope he has water.
Well, yeah, no kidding. If there's anyone who ever needed a bath, it's Yasser Arafat. Don't cut off the guy's water.
So they're going to isolate him, but you don't isolate terrorists. You kill them. So on Christian stations around the country, let's just say unequivocally, Yasser Arafat should be killed.
Because he's a terrorist.
Yeah, he's a terrorist. He should be killed.
Yeah.
He's
killed innocent people himself.
And it's a tragedy that George W. Bush was calling, as of yesterday, for Israel to come to a truce with terrorists.
Unbelievable.
Why do you do that?
What if someone called up George W. Bush and said that he needed to declare a truce with the Taliban to prove that he was a forward-thinking
and
type
Mullah
guy.
Omar.
Yeah, those guys.
And Al-Qaeda. Why don't we have a truce with them? Why is there this constant escalation of violence Afghanistan?
It's just tragic.
Every time I hear somebody from the administration talking about an escalation of violence, it just makes me sick.
Yep.
Because that's not how you describe self-defense.
That's right.
You reward it. Well, anyway, so we're going to get...
Well, I wonder about Arafat, Bob. Can he be killed? I mean, the guy survived the plane crash, mortar attacks, rocket fire, gunfire. He's amazing.
One of the homeschoolers who listens to this show...
Yeah.
Say Josh from Denver. How old is he? He's called in twice.
He's 10 or so.
10 years old.
Yeah.
With a 22.
With a 22.
And Arafat would be gone. So it doesn't take much.
Since Josh, we could take care of that, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Well, the guy seems, I don't know. He's like an old alley cat that you just can't get rid of.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is a shame that for some reason the Palestinian terrorists, there's a warm place in the heart of the administration for Palestinian terrorists.
Why are Palestinian terrorists on a different level than other terrorists?
I don't know. Terrorists, the goal is to find them and kill them. Now, they found Arafat. They know right where he is. Anyway, we didn't want to start talking about Israel. We wanted to start with some news, and
I've got news from Afghanistan that's simply a story that simply must be told.
All right.
And I mean, there's a lot of activity in Afghanistan. A lot of people are interested.
All right. And our phone number 1-800-8-N-YARD.
You don't need to give the number, Bob. I think the lines are already full.
Oh.
But if you want to try to call, wait till someone hangs up. See, that's the trick. You wait till someone hangs up.
All right.
Actually, the trick is to time it 7 seconds prior to the hang up.
Because of the delay.
But we don't want to get into that. Tell everyone all the best secrets.
Okay.
But news from Afghanistan, Bob. This story has to be told. The story is about a man named Jalat Khan, and he is a jobless wanderer. That's how they tag him in the story.
I read about him earlier.
Yes,
tonight.
He's a jobless wanderer. This is from the Associated Press today.
This is a funny story.
He's a jobless wanderer in a turban and a robe. Yeah, and his name's Jalat Khan.
And he eats rocks.
He eats rocks.
That's his claim to fame.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, when I started stone eating. Right. He eats stone. When I started stone eating.
This is a true story.
This is true?
Yeah.
What, do you think the AP makes this stuff up?
No. This is an Associated Depressed story.
When he started eating stones, he says, people couldn't believe it. They told me that it was magic. They told him it was magic that
he could eat stones.
Yeah, he says, this is the one quality I have.
He jiggles his stomach, and you can hear the nose, the stones knocking inside of him.
So I guess he's saying he's a fairly one-dimensional character. That wherever he goes, he says, wherever I go, people watch me, and they gather around as I eat stones.
Yeah, and this now I'm opening, I'm turning the mic up. I cut this out too earlier.
Oh, you did?
I printed it out. And the AP says it's... I forget, was it their editorial in their news story where they said, it's not that he has anything to say,
yes,
but people listen to him.
Exactly, exactly.
It's funny. And then they asked him about what's going on in Afghanistan.
What's going on with the bombing?
You see that paragraph?
Yeah,
Where it starts out, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening. As he swallows another stone there.
He says, the Russians came and left. The Arabs came and left. Now the Americans are here, and I don't know when they are leaving.
Wow.
And that was it.
It's deep.
That's really...
And that makes the top of the AP wire, this guy's comments.
That's a funny
story. On the
story.
Situation in the world. Now, Bob, you know, they praise him in the story, I noticed.
Yeah.
They praise him because he is not out to make money from his talent.
That's right.
That's what they say.
I wonder how much he's leaving on the table. How much could he really be taking in?
Yeah, right.
And this is I like this part. He says... why don't you read it?
Which part?
I
had a very healthy, strong body when I started eating stones, but then I became weak and thin.
he's weak and thin.
He's eating stones.
He's a moron. He's just a moron. And the media talks to these guys and they make them think like they're doing something.
Yeah.
He's eating stones.
Well, I want to read the part I thought was funniest.
All right.
He says his dream is to marry a U.S. female pilot. You know, like one of the girls who are bombing over there right now.
Right.
I don't know. Do we have any girls bombing? I think we do. Anyway, he wants to marry a U.S. female pilot who may fly him away to Dubai or perhaps the United States even.
Where he can get something other than rocks to eat.
Who determined that stone eating was a talent? I thought that was a talent when you're in third grade. I'll eat this stone for a quarter.
And you know, Doug, I've always been against women in the military, but when it came to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, I thought we should have one day where we let them know only women will be dropping bombs tomorrow.
Oh, I love that.
Only
idea.
Women will be dropping bombs on wherever we were bombing.
Talk about women's lib. Yeah. Man.
That would have been fun, wouldn't it have?
Hello, my name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob Enyart Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable, it's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob Inyart Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707 or go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, we'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon, as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Inyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
We're back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278, and you're too late. Doug, somebody just instant messaged us.
Yeah.
And he's too late. We've got funny comments already in the show at kgovlive@aol.com. Somebody just said a high-fiber diet.
Oh.
You're too late. We've gotten about five of those
the
already.
The Stone Eater.
Yeah.
The Stone Eater story.
Yeah, right. And he wanted to go to Dubai. And somebody instant messaged us, he's heard the gravel there is great.
Oh.
And the Afghan limestone can be so chalky. That's funny. And somebody suggests that the Israeli soldiers trash Arafat's Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. I wonder if he's locked in one room now, just him and his Nobel Peace Prize, yeah. Surrounded by the tanks.
And here we have this. Arafat is the Antichrist. He cannot be killed. That's funny.
We've got a pretty bright audience out there.
Yeah, funny guys. Funny guys.
But
now, other shows would have people in the audience who really think Arafat might be the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure.
At least our audience is joking about it.
They know it's a joke.
Right.
Yes, because he's simply not attractive enough.
Right.
To qualify as the Antichrist.
Right.
Right?
Good point.
But there's a lot of other news, Bob. There's a lot of other news. Did you hear about James Dobson? Have you been hearing this?
Big.
Some big news from James Dobson.
Big. He's taken another step toward
homeschooling.
Toward KGov official policy.
Right. KGov official governmental policy.
James Dobson, you know, and over the years, he's taken his steps.
He has.
We started out far apart on many issues.
Yes.
And gradually, he's been closing the gap.
He's coming around.
Like, he's been a supporter of public schools for years and years and years.
He really has.
And now, there's a group in California that's circulating via press release. It's the Alliance for the Separation of School and State.
Okay.
And they're thrilled with what Dobson said yesterday on Focus on the Family on his radio show. He said, in the state of California, if I had a child there, I would not put him in a public school.
Wow.
I think it's time to get our kids out.
Now, does he mean just California? That last statement seemed kind of all-inclusive there.
I guess it's just California, but, you know, you got to take what you can get.
That's true.
If your kids are in public school in another state, who cares?
James Dobson isn't quite ready to issue an opinion on that yet.
Actually, you know, and I love Dobson. He's brought more people to the Lord than I have by far, can't even compare. He's on, what, 1,000 radio stations?
He's 1,200 and change.
Yeah, just an amazing ministry. But on some things, it's been a little wishy.
Wishy-washy a little bit on the public school issue.
Yeah, like for public schools. It's a godless education system, yep. And he supports it for our kids.
And I think it's godless in Connecticut as well as California.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And Maine and Vermont.
So anyway, Texas. And he said that he's going to get hit for saying that.
Oh, I'll bet.
I imagine his wife will swap. Give him a swap.
Probably.
Because they probably put their kids in public school.
Well, I think a large segment of Dobson's audience is going to find themselves offended.
And that's why, you know, when we started Bob Inyart Live 10 years ago, we wrote down on a sheet of paper which issues we would talk about on the air. Mm-hmm. And we evaluated. We counted the cost.
Yeah.
And we said, because we're going to condemn the godless public schools, we will be assailed. We're going to lose revenue. We're going to lose audience share because Christians want to feel good about sending their kids to a damnable school.
Yeah, and the truth hurts, and it's ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially in the radio business. You start talking about too much truth, you start losing audience share.
Oh, and then a couple of, what was it, 5 years ago? Dobson put out a written apology. He apologized for supporting politicians who were willing to kill even a single child.
Right.
Through abortion, like with rape and incest.
Right.
And he said, I will never again. He made a pledge, and he said it on his show, and he wrote it in his newsletter. In his letter, he said, I will never again support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child.
I remember that was 96, 97.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was tragic he had to make that pledge.
Yeah, that is sad.
Like, what a tragedy that you'd support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child.
Yeah.
So, anyway, why don't we go to the phones?
Yeah. All right. We've got, you've got control of the phones there, Bob. Go ahead.
All right. Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Joseph, speak your mind.
Good evening, Bob and Doug.
Hi, Joseph. How you doing out there in Florida?
Doing well. How about yourself?
We're hanging in.
Our call screener tells us that you've just come back from Israel.
Right, right. I was over there for work, actually, for about 5 days and saw some pretty amazing stuff, but I got back last week and thought I'd call you in. Thought you'd be interested in hearing about the trip.
Yeah, well, before you tell us what you saw, what kind of work, what were you there for?
This wasn't a vacation, eh?
No. I was part of the security detail for the vice president's trip. He went to 11 countries, and we went to Israel, a couple teams.
Wow.
We're attached to the security.
Very exciting, and thank you, Joe, for doing a good job of security.
Wow.
Hey,
At least with all the tragedy there, at least Dick Cheney went and came back safely.
Right.
So what did you see?
Well, our hotel was just down from the cafe that had been bombed. That was about 3 weeks ago, the one across from Sharon's house.
Right.
Oh,
Went there. That was pretty devastating. And went to a couple other places they told us had been bombed and saw a bus that had been bombed. And it was a different world from when I went there 5 years ago on a vacation. I tell you, there was hardly anyone there, and the old city tourism was pretty much dead.
Did you go into the old city?
I beg your pardon?
Did you go into the old city?
Yes, sir, I did.
Because I would have been hesitant. Now, Doug, when's the last time you were in Israel?
1999.
99, and I was there 1 year ago, maybe next month. I was there about 10 months ago.
Right.
And we went into the old city. The Intifada had been going on for about 8 months. And I tell you, it was scary. The shopkeepers, there's very little tourism because of all this, and they're desperate for money.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
And you know how women, American women, like to shop?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
They were almost killed, the women in our group.
Is that right?
Because they'd go and they'd pick up some jewelry.
Some trinket, right?
Yeah, or maybe a Persian rug.
Sure.
And wrap it around their shoulders. and the shop owner, they were either going to sell it to her or kill her. And I said to a couple of the real professional shoppers in our group,
oh yeah,
I said, look, if I were you, I would not pick something up unless you're going to buy it, because they're going to kill you.
Wow.
It was actually scary walking through the old city. First time ever for me. But Joseph, so go out. Go ahead.
Sure. I ran into the same type of people. This guy, he was trying to sell disposable cameras like it was his last wish, you know. I don't know. He was. I don't know if he was really broke or what, but I thought he was going to die if he didn't sell us a disposable camera.
Yeah.
There's a few people.
Chances are he is broke. I mean, they're having some rough times.
I would think so.
So was there still a lot of people, a lot of activity? When I was in the old city, you could hardly walk around for people on the street.
Well, Joseph said
it was pretty much desolate. I ran into one group of Americans at the Garden Tomb, and other than that, I didn't see any Americans.
Oh,
really? Now, the Garden Tomb is usually packed.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, hundreds of Americans there. But, all right. So, hey, Joseph, with what's going on there today, and obviously you're here in this country, but you've seen the news too, the hole that the Israelis blew into the building in Arafat's compound, that's the most beautiful hole I've ever seen. And the Israeli soldiers running in with their machine guns.
That was beautiful.
What do they got? Uzis over there?
They've got all kinds. Uzis are their specialty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just great to see them going in there and searching that building. Mm-hmm. There are three buildings there, I guess, and Arafat's holed up in his office. But we know where he is, so why not kill him?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, explain a sense of this, Bob, that he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, and then about 12 years later, he got the Nobel Peace Prize. What's that? Is he the total package, terrorism and peace? I don't really get
right.
that.
All things to all men, he is.
Right. Very amazing. Few terrorists also harbor terrorists.
Yeah.
He does both. He's the head of a government that harbors terrorists, and he's a terrorist, and he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. So much for Nobel Peace Prizes.
Right. Yeah, so much. That'll be his last act of defiance, Joseph, is he'll hurl his Nobel Peace Prize at the oncoming tanks. But, Joseph, I mean, working on the security detail for Dick Cheney, I mean, tell me the truth. That had to be kind of a high-stress situation there in the Middle East.
It was there was some tension. You could feel it. I can't really talk too much about what we did, but
right. But I mean, your job is literally to protect the guy's life, and you're in a situation where all of a sudden your job is extremely serious.
Right.
Something could really happen at any moment.
Right. We did work with the Israeli Defense Force, and we saw a little bit what they do. They're pretty pretty high speed over there. All their security and military, they're top of the line pretty much as far as what I've seen in different countries. And we worked with them, and everything went off without a hitch.
Great.
Well, hey, we thank you for being there, Joseph, and defending the interests of the nation.
Hey, real quickly, the Saudis have this peace plan.
Oh, yeah,
if Israel agrees to it, then all the 22 Arab nations will grant them...
normal relations, they say.
Yeah.
They'll normalize relations.
Right.
Yeah.
And so all Israel has to do is give up all their land and move everyone onto a cruise ship in the Mediterranean.
Right, exactly.
That's it. And then they can have normal relations.
With all their neighbors.
Yeah.
As long as they stay out there in the water.
Right. Now, Joseph, you've been around Israel, not just in Jerusalem, right?
Right.
And you go up north, and as it is, it's a pretty skinny country.
Yep.
But the 67 borders, and the reason Israel got more land is because all these Arab nations attacked them.
Right. And when the Jews pushed the Arab armies back, they turned around and realized, gee, we've taken all this land that we just pushed them off of.
Yeah, so let's keep this land as a buffer.
Right.
So they can't do this again. And as I recall, their borders before up to 67 at the waist of the country. In the middle of the country, it's about 10 miles wide.
That's right.
And the Arabs, if there was a new attack, you know, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and whoever, and they all get their oil billions, and in 10 or 20 years from now, or 50 years, or 100 years, and they cut through, and they just cut the country in half.
Mm-hmm.
And you cut the country in half, and it's pretty hard to defend yourself.
That's right. Right.
To supply yourself. I mean, militarily, that's a disaster. And so 10 miles wide, I mean, really? Bush and Cheney want Israel to agree to give up all that land? I mean, that just sounds militarily insane.
Yeah.
Well, a different standard obviously applies when it comes to Israel than when it comes to our own defense, because we would never start ceding land to terrorists.
No, right.
Bush would never advocate that.
Maybe if Osama bin Laden said, okay, give us Manhattan, and we'll call it off.
Yeah, right.
We'll call it a truce. You know, Denver is about 10 miles wide.
That's right.
The city of Denver. 10 miles wide. Could you imagine a country with all the enemies Israel has cutting their midsection a 10-mile, the width of Denver, Colorado?
Yeah.
It's insane. All right. Hey, Joseph, anything else?
Well, Bob, you were asking a couple nights ago, maybe it was last night, why the Americans treat him like they do, different from other terrorists.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly why, except that I think one of the main points is that we still have military bases, you know, in these countries, you know, Oman and United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar,
right.
Where we're trying to police, you know, the Iraqi no-fly zone, and we're still trying to, you know, be bedfellows or whatever, I guess you say.
Oh, I see. So we want the other Arabs to like us,
yeah.
So we're willing to tolerate terrorists for our own political benefit.
Right.
That's bad, isn't it?
That's terrible.
Joseph, thank you for your call.
No problem. Thank you, Bob, for having me on. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. We're going to a break, and thanks for keeping Cheney safe.
Bye, Denver.
Denver. Live commercial. We've got a live commercial going on here.
Those are always exciting.
Bob and Yart Live. Hey, Doug, are you in on this?
I'm
on the commercial?
I'm in on it. I guess my mic is on, unfortunately, for you.
All right.
But I'm involved.
Somebody just asked us today about how many Bible study tapes have we shipped around the country. And we've tallied it up because we buy those polyurethane tape covers.
Yeah, little boxes.
Boxes of 500.
Yeah.
And we've gone through zillions of those things.
Wow.
Those boxes. So it adds up to about 50,000 audio cassettes of Bible study.
Out there in circulation around the country.
Yeah, about 50,000.
Well, I tell you, Bob, the Bible study is pretty incredible.
Well,
and I can understand how you've managed to build up to this level with the quality of the teaching unbelievable.
You got to cut that out, Doug.
Well, the material itself, though, it's such a rich.
We're
studying the Bible. It's great.
Yeah, the Bible is great. And the way we do it, when people subscribe to the monthly Bible study, the way we do it is we start out, we send them tapes. You get 4 tapes a month of an overview of the whole Bible. So they get the big picture. And when you get the big picture, then the details are so much easier to handle. How many people, you've worked with us for years now, how many people say, I've been a Christian for 20, 50 years, however, I never could understand the Bible, I'd close it, I'd get so upset, and now, wow, I can understand the whole thing.
Now they know where they are in the story, and the things that they thought were contradictions we're really just different audiences, different times, different mechanisms for different things God was doing throughout the Bible.
Yeah, once you get the plot down, like for example, Jesus says that, well, let's start with Paul first. Paul says that you should forgive others because God has already forgiven you.
Right.
So since Christ has already forgiven you, then go ahead and forgive others. But Jesus says something that sounds like the exact opposite. He says, if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. Now, that's a little bit different.
They stand in opposition, those statements, to each other.
Yeah, and we don't have the time to do a Bible study on that right now. But that's part of what you learn right off the bat with these Bible study tapes.
Yeah.
You get the plot, the overview of the Bible, and then we start you off with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And it's just a blast. So if anybody out there would like to sign up, $24.95 a month, call us at 1-888-8-N-YART. All right, we're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. Doug.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I was just going to get for the alphanumerically challenged.
Yeah.
They may not, some people can't figure that whole thing out.
Yeah.
1-800-836-9278 is the number for Bob and Yart Live.
Yeah, now, let's see here.
Bob, as you're going through, I don't know if I want to, did you know that George W. Bush, since we're talking about politics and the government and the war and everything, were you aware that George W. Bush had tried to recruit Oprah Winfrey to go with him and a U.S. delegation to Afghanistan?
Right, to check out the girls in the schools.
Well, not to check out the girls. Yeah, to see how the girls are doing in the school, the Afghan schoolgirls.
Yeah, right.
And, well, she said no. She blew off George W. Bush. She said she was too busy to go over and help the president in his efforts. I don't know if he's trying to win votes in Afghanistan. Are they voting in our elections yet? Or they only vote Democrat?
Right.
I don't see what good this does Bush to go over there.
Well, it's a shame.
Campaigning.
Christian conservatives, they want to look good. They want to be approved of by, say, Hollywood.
Folks like Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
They that type.
So Bush wants to be accepted by her. And she's the enemy.
Yeah.
She's the enemy. Why doesn't he ask some child molester to go and check out the kids? These are pro-homosexual, pro-evolutionary, pro-abortion, evil people. Oprah Winfrey is evil. But, you know, there's a lot of there might be somebody driving around in Denver, turn on the radio, and hear somebody say, Oprah Winfrey is evil. And say, what?
Who are these guys?
Why? I'm not even ready to say that Osama bin Laden is evil. Right. You know, Oprah Winfrey is evil.
Well, I think that, you know, George W. Bush has as good a chance of Oprah liking him as he does of Osama liking him.
Right.
But he doesn't seem to want Osama to like
him. You know, but after 9/11, Bush got, they cut him slack, a lot of Hollywood liberals and the media. And of course they would, because when your country gets attacked, when your family gets attacked, you fight to defend your dad even if you can't stand him.
Right, right.
So it's just a natural human reaction. And I guess he liked it.
Yeah, he must have.
And so
Republicans are notorious for that, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
Listen to this. Listen to what this story says, Bob. This is from the Chicago Tribune. Bush's political advisors are concerned that some key voting groups, while supportive of the war, may be growing weary of constant talk of killing and brutality. You know how that can wear on on a voting block.
Yeah, right.
All that killing and brutality. The soccer moms, they lose interest after a while. They just can't take it,
right.
I suppose. So what else? Go on tour with Oprah. And who knows, yeah, maybe he'll win the next
that's
election.
That's a bummer story. Hey, Doug, I don't know. This guy's offering me money.
All right.
This
take
is
it.
Not an instant message.
Do you have a credit card? I'm ready to copy.
This is an email
from
David, DavidLG45 at Juno.
Okay.
And he says, and he wants to take me on hell and eternal suffering.
Oh, boy.
And he says, Bob, I know you're a busy person. With that in mind, I will promise to donate $500 if you would read and consider my note and its basic scriptural evidence.
Does he include the note there with his email?
Yeah.
$500 just to read it?
Yeah. If you agree, email one, an address to me, and two, who to make the money order out to.
Okay, well, I'm writing that up right
now. You have until 11 p.m., March 29th.
That's today, Bob.
That's today.
That's today.
So I'd have to email him back.
You might have to do it.
Now, is that Eastern time?
Where was he emailing from?
I don't
know. You never can tell with emails.
That's right.
We don't know. We need a time zone, buddy. Come on.
Should I? And I'd say it's a few pages long.
Oh, boy.
And really, you know, we get a lot of emails, and the short emails have a good chance of being read.
Oh, sure.
The long ones, you can't read, you know, you can't read three books a day that people send you.
No, you can't.
You just can't.
No.
So short emails are a good idea.
Right. But if you're willing to offer $500, we would consider
pretty
much any length of email.
Yeah, I'd
within reason.
And consider it. Yeah. Not only that, I'll talk about it on the air.
Yeah, I think we should do it. Now,
but who does he make the check out to?
Well, I think he'd make the check out to Doug McBurney. No. Bob Enyart Live.
All right. The board op. The board operator thinks he should. Let's see.
It's just that simple, Bob Enyart Live. But I mean, if the guy has legitimate questions or a legitimate position on hell and eternal damnation, was it, or suffering? Eternal suffering.
Yeah.
Either way.
Okay.
That'd be worth considering. It might be fun to read.
I know who I want him to make the email out to.
Okay.
I want the money order.
The money order.
To Quad K.
Quad K in the Permian Basin.
In Midland, Texas.
Yeah.
Underwater.
Underwater.
Well, no longer.
They're not underwater anymore.
No, that was billions of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Quad K.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Okay, so, because we'd like to stay on the air in Texas.
We would love to stay on in the Permian Basin.
Yeah, and if this guy wants us to reconsider, okay, somebody is instant messaging us, a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
Ask for more money, Bob.
All right, everybody calm down out there.
1 hour, 20 minutes, and 20 minutes until 11 p.m. Eastern time.
I'll
give you 50 cents to read the message on the air.
Hey, that might be an idea, Bob.
$500 and 50 cents. All right, I might read it on the air. Send the 50 cents, but you're risking your money.
Other offers.
Okay, so I'll email this guy back.
Right.
And I'll let him know. This is DavidLG45 at Juno.
And we'll send him the address for Quad K Radio.
No, he'll send the check to us.
Oh, I see. He'll send the check to us.
Yeah, he'll send the check to us, and we'll forward it to Quad K.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, so that's the deal. So I'm going to email him back, and I'll cut and paste his comments in a Word document.
And we'll address it on a later program.
Yeah, and I'll
future program.
And I'll read this lengthy email here if Quad K gets their money.
All right.
Mailed to us.
Sounds like a win-win situation.
That does sound good.
For everybody.
It? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And plus we get to hear a good solid hour on hell and eternal damnation.
That's just a topic
that's not addressed often enough anymore. In the modern churches.
It is an interesting topic. And one of our sermons, you know, we have these two brand new albums that we're selling on CD-ROM.
Oh, yeah.
CDs for MP3 players.
Oh, wow.
And they're the best sermons of the year, the Sermons 2000 and Sermons 2001.
Cool, on CD-ROM. Huh? Yeah, how many sermons in MP3 format can you get on a CD-ROM?
You could get a lot, but we raised the quality up.
And
we,
I see.
And the 12 best sermons of the year.
12 sermons on
one disc.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's about about 7 hours worth of material on one CD. You stick it in your MP3 player, or you could play it in your computer.
Right, right.
Because not everybody has an MP3 player.
No.
You can play it in your DVD player.
Can you play it in your stereo in your car?
If it's an MP3.
Oh, it's got to be an MP3.
But you could pop it in your DVD player.
And it'll play in a DVD?
Yeah, an MP3 disc will play in a DVD player.
Man, it's just...
So computer, MP3 player, DVD. And anyway, we have a sermon on there, Sermons 2000. The last one is titled, That's Why God Made Hell.
That's Why God Made Hell. And what a great title.
So maybe when we go through this... This email here, we'll have to find out. You know, certainly we consider people's arguments evidence.
Well, we'll definitely, and I know you'll consider it seriously, you'll argue from a scriptural background.
Yeah.
And that Quad K will not only appreciate the funding.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the message that goes out that day. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not free to run a radio station.
No, it's not even cheap.
That's right.
Not even close. It's very expensive.
So, okay.
All right.
All right. Now, hey, Doug, I've got something here. A father in Wyoming wants the government to widen the highway, US 287, because just a few months ago, his son and seven others were killed in a car crash.
Oh, man.
What a tragedy.
Yeah.
And so you think, well, you know, were people driving too fast? Was alcohol?
What were the circumstances?
What was it? Well, the highway's death rate that this dad wants widened, the death rate is 10 times the state average.
Well, on this piece of this section of road.
This section
here
of road, 10 times higher death rate.
See, now that's the kind of stuff the government should be looking into and keeping track of.
Exactly.
And this guy wants him to fix it, apparently.
Exactly. Because if the government did what it should do, which is just criminal justice and infrastructure like roads and waterways,
right,
then they'd have the money to build safe roads.
Right, they would have noticed this road.
Yeah.
Would have been high on their radar screen, and that would have been something they'd have been getting after fixing.
Like God says in the Bible, build good roads, he tells the government.
Yeah.
Build good roads. And instead, what do? We build lousy welfare families.
Right.
That's what we build.
Lousy government housing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, and then we lock people up in there. We sentence people to government housing for generations.
Yeah.
While the roads crumble and they're too narrow, people are being killed on these roads.
Right. So what a shame. You know, it really is true. I remember in South Bend, Indiana, when I used to live there doing the TV show there, that there was a terrible intersection with a train and who had gotten killed there. Mm. Real tragic stories. And they didn't have enough money to fix that intersection, but they spent tens of millions of dollars on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
What a tragedy.
That's about right for a government these days.
We'll be right back.
We all know Bob Enyart is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive four sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
Doug, a couple instant messages here. What should we answer these? Please tell us where to find the responsibilities of the government in the Bible.
Ah, good question.
That's a very good question.
You had mentioned roads, and I'm sure people were driving around thinking, the Bible mentions roads?
Right.
Roads?
You know, unlike American Indians, the Jews had wheels.
They had wheels, yes.
They had wheels.
Hence the necessity for roads.
Unlike the Book of Mormon, the nation of Israel had wheels.
Yes, yes indeed.
And in Deuteronomy 19, you find that God tells them to provide roads, build roads, as part of their criminal justice system.
Right. That's right.
As part of their Deuteronomy 19:3. And then all the other verses in the Bible where God talks about judges trying criminals and, you know, if they're convicted, either flogging them or executing them.
Or making them pay restitution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are many verses about that. And we have an audio album of God's criminal justice system.
Yeah.
6 hours covering that material.
Great stuff. Just great stuff.
Yeah. So God gives responsibility for infrastructure, like roads, and for criminal justice, like the military,
right,
to governments.
Okay. Now, food stamps were in Leviticus?
Yeah.
Leviticus was the food stamps. And right. Then foreign aid. That was covered.
And healthcare.
Healthcare, right.
In the agriculture department.
Right. Department of Education, of course, everybody knows that's 2 Kings.
Right.
And,
yeah. And then, of course.
Okay, we don't want to lose anyone. We're making a lot of that up right there.
Hey, Doug, somebody here wants to know, how could he get the Sermons 2000?
Yeah, that CD.
The CD, the MP3. And the Sermons 2001, and we haven't listed it yet. They're brand new. In fact, the masters haven't gone to be duplicated yet.
Oh, wow.
We're getting the first couple hundred copies of those duplicated, probably next week. But people could order them, and $19.95
for a CD with 12 sermons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nearly 9 hours of material.
Well, seven.
Seven hours. 7 hours of material for $19.95.
Yeah.
Well, that's a way better deal than on the old cassette tapes.
We're very excited. And down the road, we're going to start moving our albums, our seminars and all, onto CD-ROM.
Oh, wow.
So you could get the entire plot seminar, all 6 hours, on one CD-ROM.
On one CD.
And the tree. And think about it. It'll be fun. Genesis creation.
It's amazing how technology is giving more and more people the ability to advocate ideas on a massive scale.
Yeah, that's right.
For what used to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, you can now buy equipment less than $10,000.
Right.
It's just amazing where the technology's going.
And look at it. People instant messaging us. It's like popcorn popping on my screen during the show, and I have to put the volume down because of the way AOL gives you their little bring, bring every time you get one.
Right.
But CD-ROM, cool. Now, I'm glad that people are excited about this.
Yeah, they got to be loving it.
And every one of these different materials we offer, they help fund this ministry.
Yeah, they keep it going.
Where we battle the wicked.
Yeah. In fact, Aren't you going to be doing some battling of the wicked this Easter weekend?
Oh, that's right.
Do you have any battling planned for Easter?
That's right. After church on Easter.
After church on Easter Sunday.
Denver Bible Church.
Right.
We'll have a fun Sunday school and then a sermon on the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Did he really rise from the dead, or do we just want to believe that?
Yeah, that really is, that's the biggest question there is.
That's
right. Did he really rise from the dead?
If Christ rose from the dead, Christianity is true.
Right, and we above all men are fools.
And if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are fools.
That's what I meant.
If Christ rose from the dead, then Arafat is going to hell.
Amen.
And that really tells you something there.
Yeah, it does.
If he rose from the dead, Arafat's going to hell.
Yeah.
Along with most of the rest of the world.
Yeah, let's not get started on that list.
And if he didn't, or is there a hell?
Oh, or is there a hell? That's right.
We'll let you know next week.
We're considering that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll read through that. But if he did not rise from the dead, then Christianity is false.
That's right. And now you're willing to admit that if it was proven to you undeniably, unequivocally, that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, you would reject the Christian faith.
That's absolutely right. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15.
That's right.
He says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are fools.
Yeah, that's what Paul said.
Christianity is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So if the evidence shows that he did rise from the dead, then it's people are urged to believe in him.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll be fun.
That will be. All right.
Okay, so after church.
Yeah, after church on Sunday, Easter Sunday.
There's an abortionist that lives not too far from Denver Bible Church.
That's right.
And he kills kids at Planned Parenthood every week in Denver for years and years. And every holiday, the eight major holidays of the year, we do an abortionist holiday home visit.
Mm-hmm.
And we go visit the abortionist at his home.
At home.
At home.
Good morning.
Where else do you find somebody, an important person on a holiday?
That's right. They're at home.
At home.
Of course.
You know, somebody who's a millionaire, you find them at home.
Right.
So we're going to go 1 p.m., 1 o'clock on Easter Sunday, this Sunday. We're going to meet in Denver. Now, if you live in another city like Midland, Texas.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have an abortion mill in Midland, Texas.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Or Odessa.
Midland or Odessa, somewhere in the metro area there.
That whole area has about 200,000 people living there. So they very well may have an abortion.
Planned Parenthood would never let a market like that go without service.
Yeah. So you look in you look in the yellow pages under
find
A,
the abortion. They're right at the beginning.
Saturday, you go to the abortion mill Saturday morning. You meet some pro-life Christians there, and you ask them if they know where the abortionist lives.
And usually.
Quite often they do.
They do.
And so then for Easter, you go. Every Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Mother's Day, you go. Labor Day. And so this Easter, we're meeting at 1 o'clock at Monaco and Evans.
Yeah.
In Denver at the Winchell's Donut Shop.
Yes.
Now, I've lost 17 pounds in 4 weeks.
Really?
So what do I do at the donut shop?
Oh, boy. Oh, you're going to have to just sit there and drink coffee.
I can do that.
Keep talking.
All right.
And you won't want to eat.
I can do that. Let's go to Chicopee, Massachusetts. Ken, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
I want to say again how much I appreciate your show. I enjoy it immensely. And keep doing what you're doing, telling it like it is.
Thank you, sir.
Sidestep the political correctness. I have one quick question for you regarding the situation in Israel with Yasser Arafat right now. Some that lean towards political correctness would think this would be reckless. But to determine if the Palestinians, what allegiance Arafat has from the Palestinians, and to see how much authority he has over them. What if Israel was supposed to, would take him in custody, and this is the sensitive part, were to go on to the international TV with Arafat
and
with two Israeli soldiers alongside of him and tell him to knock off the terrorist bombing. What effect do you think that would have?
You mean tell Arafat?
Well, tell the Palestinians, take Arafat in custody and have him in custody.
Oh, I see.
With a couple of Palestinian soldiers on each side with an Uzi barrel
in
his ear.
Uzi to his head.
With
I like
Uzi.
That.
Okay, that does sound interesting.
Now it's gone somewhere. Let's pursue this.
All right, Ken, you got us curling our toes.
We're interested.
But how long are you going to hold him?
Well, I mean, something would happen immediately.
So, Ken, you're saying that if the Palestinians wouldn't agree to knock off the bombing,
right,
that Israel would knock off Yasser Arafat?
Well, that's the thing. That's a sensitive.
So, a hostage situation.
But you'd have to keep him for what? Until he dies.
If they didn't quit, you know, then they would.
They wouldn't quit.
Yeah,
there's no love loss between Hamas and Arafat.
Yeah. No, it'd be interesting for the world to see just how much authority he commanded over them.
Yeah, Islamic Jihad, or even the Al-Aqsa, that's his own Fatah party, the Martyr Brigade.
The Murder Brigade.
They don't care.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah, they would probably consider him a martyr, and they'd say, go ahead, kill him, please.
Right.
Send him to Allah and his 72 virgins.
Right,
and then
exactly.
There's no other cards to play, I suppose.
So anyway, but it would be a bad idea, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be good to take him and just execute
him. Now, what about, what about just arresting him? Wouldn't that be some value to arrest him? And start a trial, I suppose.
Yeah, military tribunal.
A military tribunal, right.
And just it would be a longer way than this tap dancing that everyone's been doing.
He's got his machine gun right on the table, on the desk next to him.
Right next to his Nobel Peace Prize.
We know that, right. He's got his machine gun, his Nobel Peace Prize.
His Quran, yeah.
So with his machine gun there, you just shoot him.
Amen.
You don't have to arrest him.
Just shoot him. Probable cause.
If we knew that Osama bin Laden was sitting in a tent with a Kalashnikov next to him, would we arrest him?
No, I guess you're right. Hopefully not.
We just shoot him.
Right.
You shoot terrorists. That's what you do. If you have the unfortunate occasion to actually take them into custody, then you try them and shoot them.
Quickly.
Right.
Yeah. And there's an awful lot of evidence against
And anyone who supports a terrorist is guilty of a capital crime. And... hey, Doug, you know in our criminal justice system, we've done seminars all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
If you're guilty of conspiracy, you get punished with the same punishment as if you had committed the crime you conspired toward.
Wow.
Right? That's what we've been teaching for 10 years.
And the Bible's been teaching it for
forever.
Several thousands of years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now the federal government has finally taken a step toward our criminal justice system with Moussaoui saying he conspired to commit terrorist acts.
That's right.
And they're going for the death penalty. And they've never done it before. Just because you conspire, they've thought, well, you know, you get some brownie points because you didn't pull it off.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You try to murder somebody, but you were too stupid, so we're not going to execute you.
Right.
So, Ken, I'm thrilled that the federal government is going for the death penalty for Moussaoui.
Sure, absolutely. Keep doing what you're doing, Bob.
Thank you. God bless you, Ken. Appreciate that. Hearing from Massachusetts.
Chicopee, Massachusetts. Who named all those towns in Massachusetts?
All named after Indians. There's a bunch
of them like that. Yeah. Chicopee and... Well, Bob, why... I got one question.
Yeah.
I already asked you, how is it that we draw a difference between the terrorists in Palestine as opposed to the terrorists in Manhattan?
Right.
But... The big question, will this ever get solved? We don't know. But why is it that the Jews have to stay in Israel in particular?
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't they have a homeland, move it up north or down south or just elsewhere where there's not quite as much tension?
Right.
Why does it have to be right there?
Anywhere the Jews go, they're hated.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere they go, they're hated. And God did give that land to Abraham.
That's true.
I mean, the Jews have utterly rebelled against God. They're almost as wicked as America is, Israel. So they're a very wicked nation. But even a wicked father has the right to protect his children. Mm. And so they have the right, and we have the right to protect our citizens. But wherever the Jews go, they'd be hated.
I think that's the key right there.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if they set up in Kansas or Jerusalem.
But, you know,
matter.
The Jews are smarter than most people.
Yes, and people hate that about them.
Right, people are envious.
They're more successful generally.
So you got 22 Arab nations. 22 Arab nations, right? And all the oil and all the natural resources. And the Jews got a chunk of land the size of New Jersey. That was a desert.
Right, it was just dirt and dust.
And they made the desert bloom, and the standard of living in Israel is just a light year beyond the rest of the Arab world. So what are you going to do? It doesn't matter. You know, they would... So
it's envy, it's hatred, and it's anti-Semitism is what it is. And it doesn't...
Somebody asked Netanyahu or somebody today, well, why do they hate Israel? Well... why do they hate the Jews? Let me count the ways.
Yeah.
There's an unlimited number. Sure. You don't really need good reasons to hate people. No. It's just sin. People hate one another. We're out of time. Doug, thank you.
Good answer. Thank you, Bob.
Looking forward to next week. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.